Oh, don't worry. In a minute. Simon William Todd here on Planet FM 104.6 with What Simon Says. It is Saturday the 5th of October 2019 and I'm here with you for the next hour playing tracks uncelebrated elsewhere on the airwaves. I've got a special guest tonight, you'll find out about him later, but first off, no dicking around this time. This is just come out. It's the first single from the Pet Shop Boys' new album that drops next January 24th. This is Dreamland featuring Years and Years. Pet Shop Boys with Dreamland. their first single off their new album, Exciting or What? Some pump and pop with, as usual, from Neil Tennant, acute political lyrics, if you can be bothered to listen to them over the pump and pop. Now, here we go. Very exciting times here on Planet FM. I am Simon, and I am part of the Radio 13 Music Collective. We are here with you every Saturday night, playing songs that we like, curating our own playlists, and I have curated a playlist today with a person whose name is Grant Gordon. He is a multi-instrumentalist. He is a producer, an author, and foremost, he is my friend. He has been bass player in bands such as The Divine Comedy and also The Trees, who were personally invited by young Bobby Smith to play at the Meltdown Festival in 2018. And he's back with a new project called Echo Civilian, which he's going to talk about with us today as money... as much as anything else he wants to say. Are you there, Grant?
Hello, Simon. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You're calling from the bottom part of England, I hear.
Yes, yes, the arse cheek of England. we call Kent.
It's better than, I think the last time I saw you called New Zealand the arsehole of the world. So,
that is absolutely not true.
Something of a preoccupation of yours, arses, aren't they?
That is slanderous. I think it's an outrageous comment you just made there.
How's the weather?
Right. Oh, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. English autumn, cold, damp, miserable. Everybody's depressed. We're leaving Europe. Everything's a bit shit here, to be honest.
Oh,
thanks for asking.
Sorry.
How is it in Aalto, or is it beautiful?
It is cold. There's a terrible wind coming up from the Antarctic that's making everything cold.
Yeah.
It's damp and it's wet.
Yeah.
Spring in this country. I can't believe we're talking about the weather, dude.
you get two English guys together, you see, and we're going to talk about the cricket and the weather, aren't we?
We're not talking about cricket.
We're wasting your airtime talking about this all.
Well, tell us about Songs of Ilion, which you told me...
Echoes of Ilion,
which you told me last time I saw you was Ilion. I didn't know. I'm very naive to these things. It's the Greek word for Troy, right?
Yeah.
And this is a
very, very pretentious way to start our conversation, but... let's go for it. yes, I wanted to do a... as you know, I've done the odd concept album in my time, which has sort of leaned towards the more prog side of things. And I wanted to do something about the Trojan War for a long, long time. And never really told anybody and thought, oh, it'll probably never happen. And then a few years ago, I got together with... a drummer, Gary McKenzie, who you obviously know very well,
yeah.
And a wonderful guitar player called Chris Harrison, who are more seriously prog-leaning than I am. And we just sort of hung out a bit, and we sort of realised we liked certain albums that were similar, especially King Crimson's Red album and classic Pink Floyd kind of albums. And we just thought, well, should we do an album? And I said, well, we need a concept. And I said, well, I've had this idea for years, and it's probably a terrible idea. And they liked the idea of doing it. Gary probably more than Chris, to be honest, and he'd be the first to admit that. So then I went off and wrote most of the words for it and a lot of the music. And we had loads of very long songs, and I thought, just to get to the music I think you're about to play, I just thought it'd be good to have a short song so that we wouldn't sort of alienate everybody with... arcanity. So this song, I think, is called The Song of Alexander, and it's about, I told you it was pretentious, it's about Alexander the Great. Shall I go on?
I'm on tenterhooks.
Oh, okay. Right, oh, great. Just keep yourself amused whilst I put on. So the story is, in 20 seconds, the story is that Achilles in the Trojan War was a great Greek hero, and he did...
Well, Grant Gordon seems to have cut out there, friends. I tell you what, we'll try and get Grant Gordon back, and in the meantime, we will listen to the track he was talking about. It's prog in 3 minutes. It's called The Song of Alexander, and it goes like this. Songs of Alexander by Echoes of Ilion. Grant, are you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. Don't know what happened there.
It's the vagaries of the internet.
Yes.
Or someone's stopped pedalling on their bike because we are going bit old school with the telephone, listeners. So that Echoes of Alexander, about Alexander the Great, what was he doing in Troy?
I was just thinking it's very interesting to hear that back-to-back with the Pet Shop Boys. Quite an eclectic mix.
It is eclectic. My middle name.
Yeah. Do you want me to finish dribbling about Alexander the Great?
Finish dribbling about him, yes, please.
Finish, right. So Achilles was a big hero of Greece. And as all know, possibly true, possibly a myth, 1000 BC perhaps. And then Alexander comes along about 800 years later. And he's from actually what is now Albania, Macedonia, not quite Greece, but he was also leader of the Greeks, and he wanted to visit the shrine of Achilles at Troy, which he did do, apparently, and because he saw himself as as Achilles reborn, you know, this kind of thing. So that's what that song is about, is Alexander the Great visiting the shrine of Achilles. My God, this sounds pretentious. All your cool listeners, anybody into... This is why punk happened, you see, to get rid of this sort of shit.
But you did very well. You put it into a catchy 3-minute pop song, you know.
Well, yes. Pink Floyd never did that.
They didn't, yeah. So you give yourself a pat on the back. And featuring the unmistakable, if you ask me, drum talents of Gary McKenzie, who is... I often try and describe how good he is to other people, and I can't. I don't know how you describe how good a drummer he is, but he that beginning little drum fill is is cracking, isn't it?
It's classic Gary, isn't it? Yeah,
I can see.
Because maybe your listeners don't know that apart from being a superb disc jockey, you're actually a very very good keyboard player, and for many years we were in a band together. And this stuff you don't want people to know, I'll shut up if you do.
No.
And Gary was our drummer for many years, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was a joy to just watch him play.
The thing is, often he was chronically late for gigs, and you were chronically drunk during gigs. So I'm not sure how much either of you remember seeing each other, but
shut up!
Yeah,
I remember it all.
Yes.
But he's got one of the, you know, a lot of drummers have a drummer face, but Gary's got one of the best drummer faces going, I reckon.
Sort of pain and clenched grittiness. Yes.
But unfortunately, his drums were probably too big and loud for the stages we were playing on.
Well, I remember once we played somewhere in Putney, and I said to him, could you bring both your bass drums? And he did. It looked great. But you're right, it got half the room.
That was probably the same gig my dad said, could hear the drums, but couldn't hear much else.
Well, your dad moaned for 10 years that he couldn't hear a word I was singing.
Yeah, what's the point in writing lyrics? You can't bloody hear them.
Yeah. But your dad was incredibly loyal.
Yeah.
He would turn up all the time. I thought that was very nice of him.
Back when people smoked.
Because he clearly hated the music.
Yeah.
He likes, what does he like? He likes,
he's a big fan of Marla.
What's that northern, Jake Thackeray, is it? Is that right?
Don't think he's ever liked Jake Thackeray.
Thought he did. Anyway, sorry.
It's it was the little glowing disc of his cigar at the back of the stage that you'd see.
Yeah, that's right.
Knowing that was there, disapproving of everything.
Yeah, tutting. Yeah. Looking at his son, thinking, could have been a police officer like me.
Who's this mob he's got on with? Why hasn't he got any shoes on? And that painted nail thing, again, I don't understand that one.
Well, again, I was going to say, actually, to people that don't know this side of you so well, Simon was an amazing performer, but probably still is. And you used to have two keyboard players, and the other one, Tom, did most of the actual music bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you did all of the performing. And you were the star of the show. People would say, we love your keyboard player, because you would just sort of dance and swoop and gyrate. and sometimes hit the right note. And it was.
No, I was only playing with one finger as well, so I don't know how I could have missed with one finger.
Well, one thing, the right hand finger would be on the note, and the left hand finger would be on that, what do you call it, ribbon?
A ribbon, yeah.
It would go swoop, whoop. Can you do the noise that it would make? The analogue noise. Go and do it.
Well, we'll just go.
I'll do it. Yeah, go on. No, wasn't it more?
To be honest, well, I don't know why they bother making keyboards. They could just get us to do the sound effects, couldn't they?
Yeah. Well, I did a friend's gig the other week, and I strapped a kazoo onto a microphone stand and used that as a Dylan-style harmonica.
Oh, very good.
Which I worked out, it's funny the first time you do it. But on the third or fourth song that I did the kazoo solo, people were really getting annoyed with it.
Much like on the third or fourth Dylan song.
I've got it here. I've got it right here. I've got the very kazoo. Hang on, I'll give you a blast. See?
I can't understand why they were so cross.
I know. Well, we opened with the Waterboys' Fisherman's Blues, but we didn't have a fiddle player, so I did the solo on a kazoo. Time flew. Oh,
the bride and groom are at least still talking to each other.
Wow. Well, weddings and the funerals quote.
Oh, it's topical on this show. It's topical on this show. Hey, let's jump to one of your other projects called The Scarlet Oak.
Okay.
Which is a band. Gary's not in that one, is he?
No.
But he does have your long-time collaborator, Tom Aldwinkle.
Yep.
And...
Well... Yeah, sorry.
Go on. A Talbot. There's a Rowan Talbot does vocal duties with you, doesn't he?
Well, Scarlet Oak is sort of... well, it's not. We're not doing much at the moment, to be honest. But it's a sort of a name that I use to pump out anything that I just sort of do. So we did one album which was very much a sort of bandy album, which was quite rocky. And I'm very proud of it, actually. I think it sounds good. And then a couple of years ago, I started doing electronic music, and I did a whole album pretty much on my own, just of electronic sort of dance music. And I still called it The Scarlet Oak. And we haven't done much at all in the last this year at all. But I'm writing a new album right now, which I thought could be a Scarlet Oak album. But, yeah, not really a genuine band as such, I'd say. But, yes, Tom is in it, and you know Tom very well. And Tom's doing his own solo album as well. Tom has always been the George Harrison of our group, hasn't he? He's the sort of quiet genius who eventually will produce the best album of the lot, like George's All Things Must Pass.
Well, yeah, wait till they get a load of me.
Well, you're the... yes, well, they didn't have a keyboard player, but yes.
It's coming.
Well, you have written some amazing songs. I mean, again, maybe people don't know this. Two in particular, and you know the two I mean, are fantastic songs and should have some promotion out there
they
in
really
the marketplace.
They should see the light of day, shouldn't they? I just can't get them right. Yeah. Too much of a perfectionist. Well, we're going to play Killing the Cat now. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Oh, okay. Yep. Cool.
Day. Fake news distorts our fragile views. The truth is what you say. The Twitter feed of the president, a Facebook, WhatsApp sewer. Share the lie, like the lie. Add another. There is no post-truth.
That is Killing the Cat by Scarlett Oak. Your work is littered with is it not, theological and philosophical references?
Yes.
Which is very that's very pleasing, you know. But
that song was in direct reaction to Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony in 2016. And, you know, I'm not going to... It's a bit boring to drone on about Donald Trump. We're all annoyed by him, so I can say nothing new. But the whole... And again, this sounds a bit old, so 3 years down the line. But the whole, when the fake news thing, and when he was sort of spinning the fact that way more people had come to his inauguration as president than had actually turned up. It was the first time that I felt that anger that we all now feel on a regular basis with him and the guy in command in this country as well. Anyway, I won't go. Anyway, so I just thought, then I thought, so again, forgive me for the pretentiousness of this, but I was trying to find an analogy for it, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know about the Schrodinger's cat.
That's the cat who was both there and not there at the same time.
Yeah. Well, no, both. It's an experiment, it's a pretend experiment in physics where a cat is put inside a box with a potentially radioactive element which might or might not kill it. And the whole idea of the sort of concept is that the cat... You don't know if the cat is alive or dead because you don't know if the element is going to turn deadly. So at the point that you're looking at the box, the cat is both alive and dead. And then the other idea, and sorry to keep going on about this, but the last line about this is not a quantum superposition. As far as I understand it in physics, a quantum superposition is when a particle is in two places in the universe at the same time. And I kind of thought... You know, this sort of way that Trump is reinventing reality and saying things didn't happen in the way that we thought they did has a sort of allegorical resonance with those two things in particle physics. So I wrote a song about it. There you go.
Not done before.
You see why
not...
punk happens? You see why in the hot rod happens?
Not done before, not done since. Yeah.
It's funny, though. I was thinking Chris Harrison from Echoes of Ilion, who's a way, way better guitar player than I am, pointed out last week. He said to me, why do all your guitar solos sound like Mike Oldfield? And just listening to it now down the line from you, I thought, oh, God, it all sounds like Mike Oldfield at the end.
Well, next on the show, we'll be playing some Mike Oldfield to see
if... Oh, yay! Some tubular bells!
Pop pickers can spot any differences. Now, we'll move away from the, in your own words, pretentiousness to something by... one more from Scarlett Oak before we move on to other things you're involved in. I wanted to play everyone one of my favourite Scarlett Oak songs, and in fact one of my favourite songs that you've ever written, which is called Gemini.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about that before we play it?
Well, no, you're right, it's not that pretentious. I don't know why I wrote it. Well, it's just a simple love song, isn't it, really? And it seems quite a nice one.
But it does have...
I don't really like love songs.
It does have Janus in it. It goes back to... it's got mythology in it.
Oh, God, it does. It is pretentious, you're right.
But
well, Janus headed the Roman god of the new year that looks backwards and forwards at the same time. Yeah, you're right. It's pretentious, sorry. But it's a good tune.
It's beautiful.
Nice one. It was also impossible to play live because... it used very strange tunings on the guitar, and then when we did do it, you wouldn't have been there at this point. It ended up as this sort of silly epic prog number, and it was never meant to be, as you'll hear. But anyway, it's not a bad song.
Sit back and enjoy.
Yes.
when I laugh, times when I cry, times when I just want to curl up and die, and you hear me. When I'm far away, there's the sense that I'm right, there's the urge to belong, there's the feeling that sometimes you're leading me on, but I love you still.
Gemini by the Scarlet Oak. This is Simon Todd on Planet FM 104.6 or anytime at planetaudio.org.nz. I'm here as part of the Radio 13 Music Connective. We're here with you every Saturday night between 8:30 and 9:30. Coming up next week is Old Boily. He's got a celebration of Kiwi punk rock. After that is Roger. And then it is, I do believe, perhaps an all-round get-together for Halloween when all your favourite Radio 13 studio DJs will be in the room together. I'm here with my friend, the musician Grant Gordon, and that was a song that he himself penned. So not only has it got Janus in it, but it's also got some spoken word in the middle of it there.
Yeah, I was just thinking that voice sounds like you, doesn't it? But it's not you.
It's not me.
The guy called Karoki, I was in India with him, and we went to this Jain temple, and we we recorded him saying that for, we were doing a little job for the BBC, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So we ended up sticking that in, but it does sound like you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I forgot the line, I'd bury my head in your lovely brown locks. It's a long time ago when I wrote this song. I was in a Nick Cave phase. It strikes me Nick Cave could get away with singing that line, and I'm not sure I can.
It's funny, because when I was listening yesterday to the global premiere of his new album, and on YouTube, and it had the lyrics that came up as he sung them, and there was a lot of them, I thought. There's only certain people could get away with singing these lyrics.
Yeah. Well, also, he'd always use the word baby in a way that no one else would these days, because for obvious sort of reasons, it's sort of slightly dodgy, isn't it, these days?
It is, yeah.
But he still uses it in that sort of 1970s Barry White kind of way, and no one blinks an eyelid. Blinks an eyelid? Think yes. But I really liked the album. Did you like the album?
I did like the album. I think, I don't think I'll be listening to it. I won't be listening to it that much, but I did put a couple of tracks on from it today. That last one, Hollywood, I think is pretty good.
Hmm. Tied the Ghost in, the first track on the second record, as it were, I thought is amazing.
Hmm.
No, I thought it was pretty incredible. I mean, slightly, there were some boring bits, obviously, but just such a radically different thing to do. So it reminded me of the David Bowie and Brian Eno side twos of those albums, the Berlin albums from Low and Heroes, and they sort of, songs like Warsaw.
Mm.
I thought it had that sort of resonance, or sort of late Scott Walker. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. And I was following the annoying feed of people just commenting on YouTube, and someone said it was Blade Runner meets The Low. I think that was quite pertinent.
Well, but it's quite orchestral as well. I mean, if people haven't heard it, that might make it sound too electronica-y, and it isn't really, is it? A lot of real instruments. I don't know how I can't remember the name of the drummer in the Bad Seeds, but that would have been an awkward phone call for Nick to have, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Going to do a new album, there's no drums on it. What? Yeah. No drums. Tambourine? No drums.
Can I play
Can I hang out? That must have hurt.
It's a subtle way of firing someone.
Not much bass. Now, Martin Casey, the bass player in the Bad Seeds, is one of my bass heroes. I think he's an absolute genius. And the hidden glue that's kept the Bad Seeds music together, because it has a chaos in it and a sort of ramblingness to it. But he's the sort of driving force. If you listen to a song like Staggerly, it's just incredible. The Bad Seeds link, actually, with that song Gemini, was I'd just done a radio show with Mick Harvey from the Bad Seeds, again for the BBC, and I think I was in a very Nick Cave frame of mind at that point, and with the piano and the writing a love song thing, and Mick for a while liked the album that was on and tried to promote it a bit, but I mean it didn't do too much in the end, but it was a nice time to be associated with him a bit.
Oh, thanks, Mick. Let's move on and talk. Thanks a lot for nothing. Yeah.
No, thanks, Matt.
Thanks for trying.
Yes, exactly.
Let's move on to some of your other work, because you've been bass player in Divine Comedy, as I said before, and now you're bass player with and also The Trees, which is a band I'd not heard of before you joined them. But they have a massive and dedicated, but diehard following in Europe, right?
Yeah.
And also kind of linked to kind of being founding fathers and mentors and key influences to bands like The Cure.
Mentors. It's slightly the other way around. There's a good story, an origin story. Can I tell you that?
Please do.
It's too long.
Less than 20 minutes,
So. So as Simon says, I've only been in the band for 5-6 years, but the band started in 1979, and it's the two guys that still run the band, Justin and Simon Jones, vocals and guitar. And the story goes, and I hope Justin will not shout at me if I get this right, but they're all 16, 17 years old, and did a cassette and sent it in to John Peel. So John Peel used to have had a very famous radio show from the 60s onwards, which promoted new bands on the BBC Radio 1. And John Peel played their demo. And then the next day, Robert Smith rang John Peel and said, "Who was that band? They sound great." And John Peel gave Robert Smith Justin's details. Robert Smith got in contact with Justin, and they, again, I might have got some of these details wrong, but they started supporting The Cure on a couple of tours. And then Lowell Tolhurst, who was then the drummer with The Cure, later the keyboard player, produced some material for them. And throughout the 80s, the connection stayed, and they toured with The Cure a couple more times, I think. And Robert Smith last year was creating the Meltdown Festival at South Bank Centre in London, which is this big event, and every year there's a different curator. David Bowie did it one year, and Laurie Anderson has done it, and Massive Attack. And so it's a big, big thing that lasts 2 or 3 months in the summer. And he asked us to do it, and it was fantastic. So there's two venues. There's a massive venue, and there's a slightly smaller venue where sort of classical music concerts happen. And we had Suzanne Vega in the massive venue, and we were in the slightly smaller venue on the same night. So there was our crowd, which is slightly sort of goth, and Suzanne Vega's crowd, which is a bit more respectable, in the same foyer, having nibbles and canapes. But it was fantastic, and yes.
The song we're going to play by also The Trees, Seasons and the Storm, yeah, has a New Zealand connection too, doesn't it?
Well, yes. So that night, one of our a band who is a friend of ours is a New Zealand band who used to be called A Dead Forest Index, and have just sort of not just changed their name, but changed the band makeup, and are now called Unmoor Kiva. And it's brothers Adam Sherry, who's on vocals.
Sam Sherry.
And Gemma Thompson on guitar. Gemma's from the band Savages. And they supported us at the Meltdown Festival at the South Bank. And Adam had sung on our last album. He did a duet with Simon, our singer. And we'd never played it. It was just one of those songs that, you know, we just didn't play live. And because Adam was there, we got him on stage and we played this song. So it's one of the few times in 40 years, I reckon, that there's been a duet on stage during an Andor Cellar Treats gig.
Well, here we go.
It's a great bass line.
Teasing the Storm.
Shines through the hammer on the moon.
the high tide and holds the hand above her eye. Clouds pass to the south, the ship's out in the bay, the weather's set fine, and everything seems far away. Across the floor, a hand on a hand, a mouth. Gold rays of light shine through the helicopter. Shadows rising.
And also The Trees, Seasons of the Storm. I'm with Grant Gordon, the bass player from said band. And that song featured the vocal talents of, remind me again?
Adam Sherry from Unmore Kiva.
And you can find their latest single, just came out in July on the internet. It is called, one second please, Mantra of Stars by Unmore Kiva.
Okay.
I thought we'd end, Mr. G, with some tracks that mean lots to us. The first one is by Pulp. It's called The Fear. I do remember sometime maybe in the... maybe it was the late 1990s when we lived in a fire... that fire hazard in Oval.
Yeah.
We went to Finsbury Park to watch Pulp.
We did.
Play. And they were supported by Castonia, Burner Butler and Ultrasound. It was like almost perfect gig for me.
Bentley Rhythm Ace.
Oh, Bentley Rhythm Ace as well.
Yeah.
I can't believe you remember that. Wow.
I remember the whole day very, very well. It was an amazing show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, and it was Pulp when they were at their absolute best. And when things were obviously going a bit wrong within the band and they, you know, perhaps indulging in things they shouldn't be. But that made it just the most incredible performance.
Yeah, and I think they're at their kind of leery and sneery best on this song as well.
Well, and it also says maybe what Jarvis was feeling at that. It was 98, is he?
Yeah, so there was...
So, you know, long way past different class and...
the bubble.
Common people, and now it's all darker, isn't it? And I think the fear was real for him. Mm. I think he felt it.
Yeah. Let's have a listen.
Hmm.
The sound of loneliness.
is the Fear by Pulp. We can talk over this beautiful outro, right, Grant?
Yeah. What a great song. Yeah. Brilliant song. Big noise here. I like this bit.
Me too.
Oh, great stuff. I noticed that Jarvis, before each chorus, says the words, ooh, baby. Yeah. I'm going to make a list of when it's acceptable. Yeah. Which singers can get away with using the word baby and which can't? Because obviously, if you know, a heavy metal band uses it, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
But somehow Nick Cave can do it, it's okay. Jarvis can do it, because I guess it's ironic or something. But I think it sounds ridiculous.
And here endeth the sermon. It's been great, yeah. It's been great to have you on the show, and do come back.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
You will be able to get this as a podcast on planetaudio.org.nz straight after the show. Tell your friends. My name's been Simon William Todd, and I am going to fade out with a band I play every week. Another one of Mean Grant's favourites. Recognise it?
Probably Suede, isn't it?
Correct. See you later.